On the subject of the daily in Daniel 8, 11 through 14. But as there has been quite a bit of confusion and agitation over this subject through the years, I've put off handling this subject in a public way until I had accurate information about every aspect of it. I have within my possession two manuscripts on the subject of the daily, one written by F.C. Gilbert, was a converted rabbi and a close associate of Ellen White, and also one that is very well studied out by Robert Wieland while he was a missionary in Africa. These two manuscripts give a view of the daily that is in union and in agreement with all of the early pioneers. Today, it is almost impossible to find any scholar who agree with those early pioneers. And so I'd like to lay this issue before you as Adventist laymen for your consideration and for your further study. In early writings, page 74 and 75, Ellen White tells us that nearly all were united on the correct view of the daily which God had given prior to 1844. And since that date, other views have come in, views that the prophet declares were to bring in darkness and confusion. Just what this darkness and confusion would be, Ellen White does not make clear to us. But F.C. Gilbert, in his manuscript on the daily, does give us a hint as to the damage that it would cause. He points out that the scripture unequivocally supports the historical Adventist position, and the new view is only supported by a distorted concept of scripture. Thus, our ability to interpret scripture would be brought into serious question, and we would no longer have the Bible as a foundation for the most important verses of the Bible that support our Adventist position. Wieland expands upon this in his manuscript entitled, Have We Followed Cunningly Devised Fables? Where he points out that the entire Adventist message, 1844 as a prophecy, and 1888 as our basic theology of righteousness by faith, would crumble with the counterfeit view of the daily that is almost universally believed today. Those in this crisis hour of Adventist history, desiring to take their stand upon the historical Adventist position, the position that God has given His people in the testimony, must begin to study like they've never studied before and support Adventism by clear scriptural presentations. I'm sure that some that are listening to this tape have never really thought about the daily and never realized how important it is to our people. For you, I would like to give you a little Bible study about what the daily is, what the old view was, and what the new view is. Let's assume that we do not have the spirit of prophecy to guide us, that we, like William Miller, have to open Daniel chapter 8 and understand it with only our Bible and our concordance in our hands. As we open up the chapter in verse 1, we read that in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at first. Here it's clear. Daniel is in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar. The vision is being given to him while he is still working in the courts of Babylon, and Babylon still rules the world. In verse 2, And I saw in vision, and it came to pass, when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam, and I saw in a vision, and I was by the river Eulah. Again, it's simple and it's clear, that Daniel, while in the palace of Shushan, had a dream that he was standing by the river Eulah. In verse 3, Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram, which had two horns, and the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. Daniel looked towards the river. There he sees a great ram. How do we understand what the ram is and what the two horns of the ram are? Well, a little later in the chapter, In verse 20 we read, "The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia." Pretty simple, isn't it? So Daniel is seeing the movement of the great armed forces of the kingdoms of Media and Persia. "I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. But he did according to his will and became great." Obviously a reference to the conquering of Media and Persia. "And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes." So now Media Persia had conquered the world, and another power arose upon the scene. This power, this great movement, was called a goat and had a great horn between its eyes. If we look over to Daniel 8, verse 21, we get an interpretation. "The rough goat is the king of Grecia," or the kingdom of Grecia, "and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king." And that first king was Alexander the Great. Everything is very simple so far. The great kingdom of Greece conquered the Persian world, and Alexander was its first great king. "And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran into him in fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with hatred or choler against him, and smote the ram and brake his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram Persia out of the hands of the goat Greece." Now verse 8. "Therefore the he-goat waxed very great," or grew, magnified himself, lifted himself up to a great, very great power, height. "And when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable horns, one towards the four winds of heaven." Here we see that Daniel saw in vision the horn break, a symbol that the first king of Greece died. "And in his place, the kingdom was broken up into four segments." These four segments, we're told here, were towards the four winds of heaven, or the four corners of the earth, the four breaths, indicating the four corners of the civilized world. And verse 9, "And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which were actually seen in great towards the south, towards the east, and towards the pleasant land." Now let's look more closely now at this. Out of one of them, what are we referring to? Out of one of the horns, or out of one of the four winds of heaven? I would suggest that we're talking about one of the four winds of heaven. Out of one of the directions of the compass, there came forth a little horn. The word horn, Karin, if we look it up in our Strong's Concordance, as I'm sure William Miller did, we find that it is a projecting horn comparable to an elephant's tusk. The term little applied to it means littleness. But here we have a power, a horn symbolizing a power, coming from littleness, originating as a small power and growing. Then it goes on to tell us that it waxed exceedingly. It grew very rapidly towards the south. And we know that from the far west, a power did grow, and that power was Rome. At first it conquered down, took over all of Italy. And then it moved towards the east. It conquered Greece. It conquered Asia Minor. And towards the pleasant land, it conquered down towards Palestine, Egypt, took over northern Africa. In verse 10 it says, that it waxed great, or it continued to grow in power, even to, it says. The word to is the word gu'ak. And the Strong's Concordance tells us that it means to rush forth or strive. If we understand what this is being said, it continued to grow in power, and it rushed forth or strove towards the host of heaven. What could the host of heaven be referring to? Well, my first impression, it would be referring to the heavenly angels. But as we look at the rest of the verse, it says, and it cast down some of the hosts and of the stars to the ground, and it stamped upon them. As it would be impossible for the Roman power to cast down angels, we must understand that the host is referring to God's church, his people, who are also referred to as stars in the book of Daniel chapter 12. Some of the hosts were cast to the ground, a symbol, very likely, of Rome taking over the Hebrew people and persecuting them. Now, let's solidify the symbol of the host here as the church, God's church on earth. Now, in verse 11, it says, yea, he magnified. The term means to, the term is gadol, and in the Strong's Concordance, it says to advance, to make large, to become great, to lift up. So it lifted itself up. It became great, even, and then there's that word too, which would signify towards, or rushed to strive, the prince of the host. If the host is the church, then it's clear that the prince of the host is Jesus Christ. Rome continued to exalt itself, even to the time of Christ. And we know that it was Roman soldiers that were there, Roman soldiers that drove the nails into the hands of Jesus Christ. Now the subject of verse 11 is, yea, he magnified. That would indicate that the subject of the verse is the little horn power, or Rome. Thus, every he or him throughout this verse would refer to the little horn power. And so it says that by him or from him, the daily was taken away and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. Here's a point of a great deal of confusion. Roman exalted himself to the time of Christ. And then it points out that by him or from him, the daily. The word daily is the word tamid. The term the in front of it makes it a definite article. The tamid or the ha-tamid. The word sacrifice is implied in the text, and it is not found in the original Bible. So what we have here is by him, the ha-tamid, or the continuance, or the stretch, or the extension, or the constant, the continual, the perpetual. Whatever this thing is, its name is the continual, or the continuance. This continuance was taken away. Now, if we look at the word taken away, we find one of the reasons for the confusion in this chapter. The word is the Hebrew word rum, and in the Strong's Concordance there are many meanings for it, but these are the most common meanings. It says to be high, to rise or raise, to bring up, to exalt, to hold up, to lift up, to mount up, to promote, to take up or away. If we use the principle of first choice, we would have to suggest that the word in this passage means that the continuance was taken up by the Roman power or from the Roman power, and that the place of the Roman power's sanctuary was cast down. The word place here, if you look it up in your Strong's Concordance, is the word makone. It means a fixture, a basis, abode, or the habitation, or the dwelling place. The word sanctuary in this passage is the word mikdash. It means consecrated, a thing or a place, such as a palace or a sanctuary. It can represent the sanctuary or temple of Jehovah, or it can be a sanctuary or a temple of idols or pagan gods. And then it points out that this sanctuary, or the place of this sanctuary, was cast down. That word cast down in the Strong's Concordance is shalak. It means to throw out, down, or away, to cast away, to cast down, to cast forth, or off, or to throw something out. But here is something that means something definitely moved from its original place. Now let's read verse 11 altogether. Yehi, referring to a little horn, magnified or grew in power even towards or to the prince of the host, the time of the prince of the host, either way. And by him or from him, the perpetual or the continuance was lifted up, absorbed, or exalted. And the place or the habitation of his sanctuary or his sacred temples was cast down or removed, moved to another location. Now in verse 12, we read, and an host was given against the daily. By reason of transgression, it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Let's look at the word host, beginning of that. It says an host, but in the marginal reference it says the host again. We established that the word host is referring to the church. Some people believe that the host may be referring to an army. I'm more comfortable with it being the church. This host was given. The word given, if you look it up in your Strong's Concordance, is nathan. It's used in a vast variety of meanings. It means to give, to put, to add, to apply, or to appoint. And then if you add beside that the word against, the word against is the word all in Hebrew. You look that up in your Strong's Concordance, and it'll tell you that this word is used in a vast variety of applications. It's usually word with used with another word, which would give it its meaning. It can mean above, over, upon, against, with, and when it says against, it means with a downward motion. It can mean after, against, it can mean among, besides, or between. It can mean by reason of, or had charge of, or over. It can mean through, to, touching, or with. And so we have these two words here that could be a bit confusing, but let's put them together. These two words, given against, could be put with, placed beside, placed among, put among, added to, appointed over. It could represent placed against as touching something or as beside it, etc. The host of God's church was put with the continuance. The next word that's used in Hebrew here that some interpreters have put by reason of transgression is simply the word bipasha, which means in rebellion or transgression. Bipasha. And in this condition, it cast the truth to the ground, and it, this new desolating power, practiced and it prospered. Let's read 12 through a little bit more slowly, as it should read in the Hebrews. And an host, or the church, was put with the daily, or the continuance, in rebellion. It cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. That fits perfectly with history, doesn't it? We know that not only did Rome exalt himself to the time of Jesus Christ, but it absorbed the continuance. It exalted the system of astrology worship and became the center of pagan idolatry throughout the entire world. Let me read verses 11 and 12 through now that we understand the meanings of the word. Yea, he, the little horn, grew in power even to the prince of the host, or Christ. And by the little horn, or Rome, the continuance was exalted or set up, and the place of his headquarters was removed or moved away. And then the church, or the host, was put with this daily, or this continuance, that united with it in rebellion, and it cast the truth to the ground, and it practiced, and it prospered. It appears to me here that what we're seeing is two powers. One is the exaltation of the system of paganism or astrology worship by the new power, the power that grew from littleness, Rome. We know that Rome became the center of the mystery cults of the world. And then in verse 12, we find that God's church merged itself with the system of astrology worship, or the continuance, the system of pagan idolatry, in rebellion against God, and it cast the truth to the ground. At the end of verse 11, we notice that something transpired between the rulership of Roman paganism and the rulership of Christian paganism. The headquarters of Roman paganism transferred its center of operation from Rome. And we know that the seat and the power and the authority of Rome, or the dragon, in Revelation chapter 13, was given to the beast, the Roman Catholic papacy. It all seems very simple, doesn't it? And very clear. And so it is. Unfortunately, a complicated mind sometimes makes things complicated when it's not following the Spirit of God and inspiration. In verse 13, we read that a Holy One was seen by Daniel speaking in the vision. And another saint said unto that certain saint which was talking. Now that certain saint which is talking is the number of secrets, or the wonderful number, the Hebrew word, the palmoni. We're referring to Jesus Christ. And this vision is being seen in heaven, isn't it? How long, says this Holy One, shall be the vision, the daily, the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? Just exactly what is being asked of Jesus in this passage. How long would indicate to me that the question is asking how long the duration would last of, number one, the vision. How long will the vision last? What was the vision of? Think for a minute. It was something that Daniel saw at the time of Babylon. He wants to know, what is the time period that this vision is referring to? And then number two, the question is, how long the continuance, the perpetual, or the daily, the system of pagan idolatry, how long will that system last? And number three, he asks, how long will this rebellion last, transgression of desolation? It's referring to the Christian pagan apostasy. So really, three questions are being asked here. How long the vision, how long the system of paganism, and how long the paganized Christianity will continue to give both the host, God's church, and his sanctuary, his sacred word, his sacred people, to be trodden in his truth, to be trodden underfoot. The answer is given in verse 14, and it said unto him, unto 2,300 days, a day is always a year in prophetic time. 2,300 years. Then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Now the word sanctuary here is different than the word sanctuary that was used before, which was the word mikdash. Here the word for sanctuary is kodesh. It means a sacred place or thing. It's rarely used in the abstract. It means holy thing, saint, or sanctuary. This sanctuary that is to be cleansed is God's people, His church, His body in this world. How long until His body and His truth in this church will be cleansed? The word means justified, made righteous, vindicated, or cleared, set before the court as not guilty. And number 3, cleansed or purified. How long?